Definitely, definitely. Because listen to this. The same 85 people have been talking to us, 21 on this side. The very same 70 out of the 85 have been complaining about the very issues which are the basis of the vote of no confidence. Some of them went down there undertaking to ask that they are there to persuade the Prime Minister to resign. Quite a number of them went up there with that stated objective. We are in agreement. So how is it that they go down there and then all of a sudden they change their mind? Something must have happened. The next point is this. You need to understand the underlying reason why the Constitution specifically says that there has to be not less than 7-day interlude between notice of the vote being given on the floor of Parliament and the actual vote. The reason is to allow for consultation, not just between the members of Parliament. It requires for wider consultation with the electorates that we each represent, the provinces that we each represent. When you lock up people, when you take their mobile phones off them, when you park heavily armed policemen around the perimeters of the hotel, hardly any consultation. So clearly, the conclusion they reach that the Prime Minister is still a fit and proper person to continue to govern cannot be the view of the electorates they represent. That is why I'm saying it is time, now that we've progressed our democracy to this level, 41 years on since independence, it's time to relook the issue.
If you are saying that there were a number of MPs in that group in Alatau who were hinting that they were unhappy with Prime Minister Peter O'Neill and prepared to back you at the vote of no confidence, if they were persuaded otherwise during their time in Alatau, can they not be persuaded once again to come back to your side? And might there be still scope for another vote of no confidence before the election?
Before we answer your question, we have to look at the surrounding issues. I believe that all things considered, it just makes it difficult. One MP and no names. The day before he flew down, he told me, I'm going down there specifically with the view to persuading him to resign, alternatively, break up that tent and bring some numbers to the opposition. I was doubtful about his ability to do so, but that's what he expressly told me and he left. On the Friday morning, before we went into Parliament, he calls me and he says, I'm sorry, it's now proving very, very tough, very difficult. I'm stuck where I find myself. That's what he said. And since then, we have not spoken, but what does he mean by he's stuck? It's not practical for him to move. What has happened? This country, even the taxpayers of Australia, whose tax money we benefit from quite a lot, all of us need to know.
Do you believe that there is a wave of support for your call to abandon the camp system? Because it's absolutely entrenched, isn't it, in the political scene across the Pacific?
In Australia too?
Well, maybe not in Australia, but the rest of the Pacific. So are you suggesting Australia is the example to follow?
Exactly. So if it is not the case in Australia, if it can be done in one corner of the Pacific, so why can't it be so in other parts of the Pacific?
People will talk about the Pacific culture, won't they? The way of doing things in the Pacific Islands. And that is part of the problem, isn't it, with unpicking something like the camp system?
Yeah, and sometimes it's a good story, sometimes it's a bad story. This one is not a good story. That is why we have to think progressively. We have to improve the political culture. That's what progress is all about. And the issue of the vote of no confidence doesn't arise all the time. It arises maybe this time around, it's arisen about 10 or 15 years since the last one. So it might not arise again for another 5, 10, 15 years, you don't know. It appears once in a while, but when it does arise, it exposes details of its ugliness. And when you have that opportunity, you need to address it. Otherwise, the opportunity goes by and next generation of leaders are faced with the same kind of situation again. So as we are faced with it, we need to deal with it before it disappears from the collective memory of our people and our political leaders, and we move on to other battlefronts and we forget this one. I tell you what, after the vote was defeated on the floor of Parliament, not a single person clapped. Normally, you get a gallery who are not supposed to. They clap their hands passionately and yell and hoot and that sort of thing from the public gallery, even though they're not allowed to do it. Their emotion coming through very quickly. They can't help themselves. But after Friday's vote, there was not a single clap or call from the public gallery, even from the floor itself. It was all quiet. And out on the street, there was a moody feeling on Friday afternoon, Saturday, Sunday, and even Monday. And if people are still recovering from that vote, people of Papua New Guinea could not believe that there is such a big disconnect between the 85 MPs and the population at large, the people they represent.